Hi, friends. This is Ivana Estelle, host of True Crime Storytime. I usually don't do minisodes. Well, I never have. Even if my episode is only 15 minutes, it's an episode. But I decided to join you today to drop two episodes, my normal case and this mini one. Mainly as a thank you because I've been flaky a bit with the weekly episodes, and you all deserve more than that. Today I'm going to give you the information you need to know to understand the Brittany Griner case, and why the hell she was in Russia in the first place, and what that may mean for us moving forward. This way, whether you're at the dinner table, happy hour, or trying to make sense of our political climate, you have this information in your arsenal. Besides, I feel like people know bits and pieces, but not really the why. So, let's get into it, shall we? Brittany Griner is 32 years old. She was born on October 18th, 1990. I feel like someone else shares that birthday, maybe Drake. Also, is that when Scorpio season starts? Brittany was originally from Houston, Texas, and is the daughter of Raymond Griner, a deputy sheriff. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Brittany Renner, but it is, like, their last names are very similar. So I'm going to just try my best to continue. Griner, 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 Brittany Griner. Okay. She is the baby of the family with three older sisters, Dee, Sherka, and Pierre. Brittany attended Nimitz High School and was a varsity basketball player there. She also played varsity volleyball as well. Brittany naturally was a star. By her sophomore year, she was playing with the boys and was known for her intense dunks. Like, by her junior year, she was pretty much known everywhere. I mean, she was a star. She was 6'9" and I'm pretty sure every girl's first girl crush. She also was just a beast on the court. In high school, Brittany dunked about 52 times in 32 games as a senior, setting a single game record of 7 dunks against Aldine High School. By 2009, she had a day named after her. A whole day. Brittany Griner was also WBCA All-American and participated in the 2009 WBCA High School All-American game, leading the team by scoring 20 points and collecting about 9 rebounds. Brittany played college at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. As a freshman, Brittany had 223 blocked shots and set the all-time single-season record, establishing her as one of the greatest shot blockers in women's basketball history. Brittany does incredible in college, and I'm going to give just a quick college summary. So when she was at Baylor, she entered the NCAA tournament as a 4th seed and knocked off top-seeded Tennessee in the Sweet 16. On March 22nd, Brittany set an NCAA tournament record with 14 blocked shots in a 49-33 win against the Georgetown Hoyas. Her sophomore season ended with a 48-56 loss to the eventual national champion and conference rival Texas A&M University. But in her junior year season, Brittany averaged 23.2 points, 9.4 rebounds, and 5 blocks per game. In April of 2012, Brittany led Baylor with a 26-point, 13-rebound, and 5-block shots win to the Division I Women's Basketball Championship. They actually ended up winning like 80-61 over Notre Dame. In 2013, the WNBA draft happened, and the Phoenix Mercury, which I don't know if it's like Phoenix Mercury, okay, selected Brittany as the first overall pick. In 2014, Brittany's stats would continue to improve as she averaged about 15.6 points a game, 8.0 rebounds per game, and 3.7 blocks per game. In March of 2017, Brittany re-signed with the Mercury and to a multi-year deal once her rookie contract had expired. In 2018, Brittany played all 34 games. which is just like insane, for the third time in her career. So do you see a pattern here? She was the GOAT. In general, when it comes to WNBA, I feel like there are only a few standouts because the WNBA doesn't get the same amount of attention or funding as the NBA. But Brittany, child, she was a household name. Like, I even heard of her. I peeped her Instagram, and I'm more of like a tennis girl myself. Brittany played for the national team in the Olympics and even overseas in China, so she was pretty well-traveled. Brittany was known for being passionate about school, animals, and the LGBTQ community, being open about her own coming out journey. Her endorsement deal with Nike was the first time the company had signed with an openly gay athlete. And I know I'm giving her a lot of accolades, but the reason is because there was a huge debate when it came to her arrest of why her? Why should we care? It's because even though her name may not be big as a LeBron James, for example, she was someone who represented the United States for being a place of acceptance and pride and beating the odds. She is a hero to a lot of people. Now, of course, like all celebrities, things aren't always peaches and cream. On August 14th, 2014, Brittany actually got engaged to fellow WNBA player Glory Johnson. On April 22nd, 2015, they were both arrested on charges of assault and disorderly conduct after police responded to a fight between the two in their suburban home in Phoenix, Arizona. Both had sustained some injuries, but they ended up marrying the following month on May 8th, 2015 in Phoenix anyway. And like, I get it. Most people may have experienced this, that we can't stay away from each other, love. Oof, I remember mine. I was just sure, despite all the drama, I was going to marry that man. And that's just not how it went. But for Brittany and Glory, it did, even though it was short-lived. On May 15th, 2015, the WNBA suspended Brittany and Glory for 7 games each after Brittany pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct charges. Brittany was also required to complete 26 weeks of domestic violence counseling. On June 4th, 2015, Brittany and Glory revealed that Glory Johnson was pregnant with twins, conceived with Glory's eggs through in vitro fertilization. The following day, after less than a month of marriage, Brittany filed for an annulment of the marriage, citing fraud and duress. The annulment was denied. And now this all just seems messy, like, okay, your wife is pregnant with twins, so you're trying to skedaddle. Brittany, you are not slick. Glory Johnson ended up giving birth to twin girls on October 12, 2015, 16 weeks premature. Brittany was ordered to pay child support to Glory. The couple's divorce was finalized in June of 2016. I don't know if Brittany is like involved with the twins. And I noticed that when the news came out about everything that went down in Russia and like her arrest, no one spoke about her motherhood. But Brittany was known for moving on and becoming engaged to Sherelle Watson in August of 2018. They married in June of 2019, and Watson later changed her name to Sherelle Griner. So, see people, if you are stuck on somebody, go ahead and get unstuck, because there is better waiting out there for you. So let's talk, okay? Brittany in 2022 was kind of living her best life. She got married in 2019, less than a year later COVID hit, and now she's finally getting back into playing. On February 17th, 2022, Brittany was traveling to Russia to rejoin her professional team, UMMC Yekaterinburg. I should have given a trigger warning for my pronunciation alone. It's just going to be so bad. Oof. But she played during the WNBA offseason. Many American female basketball players competed with high-paying Russian teams in the time before the war in Ukraine. After 2021 WNBA season, about 70 players decided to play with international teams instead of resting during the offseason, with more than a dozen of them competing in Russia and Ukraine. The financial incentives are compelling. WNBA players make a fraction of what their male counterparts do in the NBA. The maximum salary in 2022 for WNBA players was about $228,000, while NBA players are paid tens of millions of dollars. International women's teams, which tend to have more government and corporate financial support than those in the WNBA, can pay hundreds of thousands of dollars a season, and some will pay even more than a million. Brittany was one of the best in the world, so she was chasing that bag, honey. Brittany was stopped during the security search, you know, like your regular going through customs. This was because Russian authorities accused her of carrying hashish oil in her luggage at the Sheremetyevo International Airport. She was stopped by customs, and to break it down, Brittany was carrying a vape with a cartridge or cartridges containing less than a gram of hash oil. Hash oil is basically like marijuana oil. A lot of people smoke vapes now. They call them vape pens or weed pens, and it isn't like the actual plant itself. So she didn't have weed on her in that form. She had it in oil form. Now, the Russian Federal Customs Service said that a sniffer dog, which, I'm sorry, every time I hear of people using dogs in a true crime case, I roll my eyes because it doesn't seem to amount to anything ever. However, in my own life, whenever I see dogs at the airport, like the train station, like the canines, I get nervous. You'd think I was smuggling vibranium or something. I don't know. I just get nervous like I have something on me. Anyway, the dog smelled Brittany's carry-on luggage, and that's when the search ensued. They ended up finding the pen, and Brittany is taken into custody. In Russia, cannabis is illegal, and the question of why Brittany had a pen in the first place, well, one, I need y'all to level with me here. People travel with a pen like that all the time. You could even forget that it's in your bag. I'm not going to implicate myself or anything here, but I def know of people who may have forgotten they had some marijuana on them or just forgotten they had something on them and like in their bag, carry-on or luggage. But Brittany, in her case, she was prescribed medicinal marijuana in Arizona. So here is where the first theory comes out that this may have been a loaded arrest. First of all, Brittany is arrested in February and isn't even in court until months later. It's also very hard to get into contact with her. You remember Stranger Things when Hopper goes missing and is detained? It's like that, except it's 2022. Some U.S. officials expressed concern that Russia may have been using Brittany as leverage in response to the Western sanctions imposed against Russia for its invasions of Ukraine. The former Pentagon official, Evelyn Farkas, expressed concern that Brittany could be used as a high-profile hostage by Russia. In May of 2022, the U.S. State Department stated that they had determined Brittany was wrongfully detained. Brittany was found guilty on August 4th, 2022, and was sentenced to 9 years in prison and fined 1 million rubles, which is about $16,301, even though the standard sentence for possession of more than 2 grams is 15 days. In November of 2022, Brittany was transferred to the IK2, a penal colony in the town of Yavas in the region of Mordovia in Russia, and was held in an undisclosed location. So, a timeline recap. She's arrested in February. By May, America acknowledges that this is a hostage situation. And by August, she's sentenced to 9 years in prison. Following, in November, when she's literally taken to what I can only describe as a second-level prison in an undisclosed location, she goes months on end without talking to her family at this time as well. There also was an appeal process, which I may or may not mention a little bit later, but it's denied. Of course, people are fucking pissed. The belief is Russia is using Brittany, but the question is why? During this time, we know that the relationship with Russia and the States is very touch and go. We don't trust each other. We don't like each other. And Biden is in office now and has to decide what exactly he's going to do and what Russia wants. Keep in mind, this is around the time that things are beginning to implode in Ukraine. So Britney's supporters rallied around her social media, and the general public was pushing for her to be freed. Her wife was like Superwoman, doing everything she could to push the activism and outcry and keep attention on this. Eventually, she even ended up speaking to President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Britney's wife was not going to stop fighting until Britney was home. Like a real rider, ride or die. Now let's talk about what the conditions were like in prison. So these prison camps, saying they fucking suck is an understatement. They remind me of those colonies in The Handmaid's Tale. In fact, it was a popular saying among female Russian inmates about IK2 prison specifically, that if you haven't done time there, you haven't done time at all. So remember, Britney doesn't really speak any Russian, so she has to basically figure it out and learn as she goes. Britney, like I said before, tried to appeal the 9-year sentence in October, but it was denied. So at this point in her mind, she may not be home for another 9 years. Prisons in Mordovia in general are regarded for having the most harshest conditions in Russia. The IK2 prison was built as part of a system of similar prisons in the 1930s Soviet Union era. Violence from inmates and prison workers is common. It's so remote that basically we don't know what's happening there. So can you imagine this 6'9" black queer woman being stuck there? We do know Brittany, who once had these long, luscious locks, had to cut them. The living conditions are somewhere stuck 50 years ago. It's like basically stepping in there is like stepping into a time portal 50 years ago. Prisoners wake up at 6 a.m. with group exercises. They sit at a sewing station for the rest of the day. And by the rest of the day, I mean 10 to 12 hour days, producing uniforms for military and prison service members. That literally is not a joke. Inmates are housed in dorm style, but with 100 bunks in a large room. It was described as like 50 to 60 rows at a time and little supervision at night. You can only shower twice a week and bathrooms obviously are shared. Before Britney was here, she was in a foreign holding prison. So maybe there was a chance that she was able to speak with people who spoke English, but then again, maybe not. The other option was 24 hours of isolation. It all around was just a really hard, lonely place to be. So let's talk about Britney being free, because this is the conversation that had Twitter in a tizzy and resulted in some uncomfortable dinner table chats. The Biden administration tried for months to strike a deal with Russia to free Britney Griner. A White House official spoke on the negotiations and said that in June of 2022, the United States offered to trade Victor Bout for Britney Griner and another American, the former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan. Now, I've heard Whelan and Whelan. I'm going to say Whelan because it's spelled W-H-E-L-A-N. So President Biden, who had been under growing political pressure to free the Americans, was said to have backed this offer. Now, I know you may have heard, we freed a basketball player, but not a Marine. That statement, I've seen it on the internet. I've literally heard people in passing say it. This is probably the first and only time in history a black woman came first, but I digress. Paul Whelan is a former United States Marine who was arrested in Russia in 2018 for being accused of spying. We should note he has citizenship in Canada, the U.S., and Ireland, and it feels like no one is fighting hard enough to bring him home. I'm going to say that with asterisks. Now, without going into too much detail, this minisode isn't feeling so mini anymore. When arrested in Russia, Paul was director of global security and investigations for BorgWarner. That's an international automotive parts manufacturer based in Michigan. His work with Kelly Services and BorgWarner gave Paul contacts with the U.S. intelligence community, federal agents, and foreign embassies. Paul traveled to Russia several times from 2006 and maintained an intermittent presence on a Russian language social media site called VK, where he had approximately 70 contacts. He had studied Russian but communicated online using Google Translate. He said in a deposition in 2013 that he holds a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and an MBA. On December 28, 2018, Paul was arrested in the Moscow area by Russia's Federal Security Service. Paul's twin brother, David, which is just so crazy, has a twin, said that Paul arrived in Moscow on December 22nd to attend a wedding of a former fellow Marine at the Hotel Metropole Moscow and to assist the groom's family members on their first visit to Russia, a country he had visited, obviously, many times since 2006. David said that his brother planned to return to Michigan on January 6, 2019, which, oh my God, January 6th, as we all know, is like a day that will live in infamy. But this is, a couple years prior. Per MBK News, Paul had $80,000 in cash temporarily confiscated during a customs inspection at the Domodedovo Airport. David said his brother entered Russia using his U.S. passport. He said his brother had not been in contact with his family, and he was formally charged on January 3rd, 2019. According to the Russian news agency Rosbalt, Paul was apprehended in his hotel room at the Metropole Hotel while concluding a long outing with a Russian citizen who handed him a USB drive containing a list of all employees at a classified security agency. According to Paul, his longtime friend had appeared unexpectedly in the hotel, followed by authorities who later arrested him. According to attorneys for Paul, they could not provide the name of Paul's Russian friend due to the Russians' secrecy rules, but Paul's family identified the person as a major in the FSB's department, quote, K, which monitors Russian economic crimes. Paul was being held in Moscow's Lefortovo prison. As of March 2019, he shared a cell with another prisoner who spoke no English. Former CIA officers have stated that the CIA would not recruit an officer with Paul Whelan's military record, nor leave an officer exposed without a diplomatic passport. They further claim that Paul Whelan's arrest is connected to tensions between Russia and the United States. So, yeah, it may not be that the U.S. chose Brittany over Paul Whelan, but that Russia wasn't willing to give Paul Whelan up in the first place. However, America did give Viktor Bout up in exchange. On December 8th, 2022, Russia and the United States conducted a prisoner exchange, trading Brittany Griner with Viktor Bout. So Viktor is a Russian arms dealer. In the years after the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, Viktor was commonly referred to as the Merchant of Death, because he became a notorious international arms dealer selling Soviet-made weaponry in Africa. He was arrested in Bangkok, Thailand on March 6, 2008 after being the target of a U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration sting operation in which U.S. agents claiming to represent the Colombian rebel group FARC negotiated with Bout for the supply of 100 9K-38 Igla surface-to-air missiles. So 100 missiles. He was arrested and held in Thailand for a moment, but eventually Viktor and the Russian government were trying to fight because they did not want Viktor to be extradited to the United States. But the Thai courts ultimately ruled in 2010 that he could be extradited to face trial in the U.S. federal court. In May of 2008, Viktor was indicted on four federal terrorism-related charges: conspiracy to kill U.S. nationals, conspiracy to kill U.S. officers and employees, conspiracy to acquire and use anti-aircraft missiles, and conspiracy to provide material support or resources to a designated foreign terrorist organization. Reading those charges out loud sounds crazy. Additional charges against him were filed in 2010. These included illegal purchase of aircraft, wire fraud, and money laundering. On November 2nd, 2011, after a three-week jury trial in the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York, a federal court in Manhattan, Viktor Bout was convicted on all charges. On April 5th, 2012, Viktor Bout was sentenced to 25 years in prison, the minimum sentence for conspiring to sell weapons to a U.S.-designated foreign terrorist group. Prior to the 2022 prisoner swap, Viktor had been scheduled for release in August of 2029. He was sent back to Russia on December 8th, 2022, after spending a total of 14 years and 9 months in custody, including 3,823 days at the U.S. Penitentiary Marion in southern Illinois city of Marion, Illinois. On top of Paul Whelan still being incarcerated, Mark Fogel, another American who's currently detained, still is stuck in Russia. However, Sarah Krivenek, an American who was detained on a domestic violence dispute, was deported from Russia on the same day as Brittany Griner's release. So, I mean, you guys be the judge. Well, social judge. The pen wasn't planted. So was this just, quote, luck that Russia acted fast and took advantage of? In terms of the final exchange, Victor Bout was smuggling like all over the world, so he's pretty much in Russia forever, because if he were to leave, he could possibly face charges in other countries. So he allegedly isn't really a threat. He's stuck in Russia forever. Allegedly. Russia is still at war with Ukraine, and tension between the states and Russia is still high. Brittany has become a trailblazer in activism in trying to get Paul Whelan and others detained home. She's also planning on playing basketball again, so we will see what the future holds. I hope this answered all of your questions. You can form your own opinions, but at least now you have the research. Or now you don't have to research anything. Actually, no. Go do your own research. Either way, safe journey. Keep walking in the light. Until next time. With love, with love, with love, Ivana Estelle.